Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you from not quite Evanston. We're in Skokie, big time suburb of Evanston. And great to have you with us on this Wednesday. Penn State basketball tonight at 9, 8:30 we go. Penn State and Northwestern. All right. So, Mike from Lansdale. Is Mike on the line? Yeah, he's on the line. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Steve. Happy New Year to you and your staff. There.
Happy New Year to you as I look out at the frozen tundra of Evanston.
Before I ask my questions, I agree with your comment the other day about Tony Carr. I really wish he would have stayed another year. The football side, obviously excited that P.J. Musselburgh's coming back. I think the if the young defensive lineman can accelerate on schedule, I think that group can be pretty deep next year. I want to ask you, though, do you think Zariah Fisher's future is at defensive end, or they have any plans of moving back to middle linebacker?
You know, it's an interesting question, Mike. So let's start with this. We'll start with the defensive tackles. So we'll go with, you know, you've got Mustafa back, you'll have Izzard back, Ellie's back. Vandenberg gave a very good account of himself in the bowl game, and I thought as the season went, he got better and better at practice. And then we'll see what happens with Akeem Beamon. Now let's get to Zariah Fisher. I think at linebacker, this is where Kobe King and Jamari Budden come into play in your question, because you'll have Sutherland, Jacobs, Elsdon, King, and Budden, and there's one more coming in with the recruiting class. So you got six. I think right now his spot at defensive end, just on pure size, I think he's now made himself physically into more of a defensive end than maybe a middle linebacker or inside linebacker at this point. It's an interesting question, but I just think he's been able to work his way into the defensive end spot because I think he's put on enough weight, good weight, to make him a defensive end and not an inside linebacker.
Okay. As far as Tyler Elsdon, does he have the ability to play on the outside, or is he strictly an inside person? And I know they have Sutherland moving over, but I don't know how confident I am there because it's hard to make that transition in 1 year.
Well, Sutherland and catcher can both play out there. I don't think I mentioned catcher in this answer, did I? Because catcher's coming back, too. So Sutherland and catcher can both play at the field spot. So now you're taking a former safety, and, Mike, they started doing this in the preseason. Because of certain situations in the preseason where a couple of guys got banged up, Sutherland was practicing at that outside linebacking spot as well as safety. So he did both during the course of the season. So this is not going to be one of those, oh, voila, they did it for the bowl game, and he's, you know, and now they're going to keep him there. There's been a lot of forethought about him playing out there to begin with. So you're taking a former safety and putting him at the field spot where a lot of coverage is involved. And I think moving him closer to the ball is the equivalent of moving Marcus Allen closer to the ball. So I'm comfortable with Sutherland playing there. I wanted to see how Jacobs would play at the other linebacking spot, and he's always practiced at all three linebacking spots. I thought Jacobs played a fabulous game against Arkansas at that linebacking spot. So I'm far more comfortable now. And as for Elsdon, Elsdon's an inside guy. He is a downhill guy. It's going to be interesting to see the competition between Kobe King and Elsdon at that spot as the spring plays out and as the preseason plays out, because I think King and Elsdon are going to be two guys that are going to be fighting a lot there at that spot. Catcher can play either the other spot behind Jacobs or the field spot, and Button can play the field spot as well.
Do you think they're comfortable with the depth at linebacker, or do you think they'll go to the portal for to get one?
They may go to the portal to get one. I wouldn't put that out of the realm of possibility. Is it the highest priority? No, but if there's one there that wants to come here, I'd go for it. Why not? I think you can't have enough good linebackers. I know I work with one, and he'd be telling me, yeah, good answer, Steve. You know, because I mean, he'll tell you they're the smartest guys in the field. So, but yeah, I don't think you could have enough good ones there. If they can get one in the transfer portal, I'd be all for it.
Can they hire Jack as an analyst? I mean, for a linebacker position? I'm serious.
Look, I mean, to be honest with you, Brent talked with Jack a lot during the course of a season. Now, Jack has only met Manny, so he doesn't know Manny. But let's face it, Jack is around a lot. He will go to as many as 8 to 10 preseason practices. He is there every Thursday, and of course, you know, which then would dovetail into Friday. And you would be foolish not to at least pull him aside once in a while and say, what do you think? And Brent was really good at that. He often would pull Jack aside, and they would talk. So, you know, so you're not an analyst. But, you know, I mean, geez, you can't take him away from me, Mike. I mean, come on.
No,
I'm going to be extremely selfish. I'm going to be selfish about my teammate here. Very selfish.
I didn't mean that.
But believe me, they, you know, those guys in the staff, Terry Smith and those guys, Jack is always like, hey, always going to them to talk to them. They're also talking to him too, because they obviously know he knows what he's talking about.
Okay, thanks a lot. I can listen to you talk about roster personnel all day long. Thank you very much.
I'm glad one person feels that way.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Mike. Happy New Year to you.
Same to you. Thank you.
All right. Mike and Lansdale joining us on the show today. All right. So, Matt, any complaints so far? I just want to check in on the complaint line.
No, we're all good today.
I mean, Gardner Minshew being tracked down by Micah Parsons is not going to be pretty.
If Micah plays, he's on the COVID list now.
You got 5 days, you're back. All right. But you got five days.
Yeah, no, I would agree. I'm not naive to say it wouldn't be pretty, so.
Yeah. Anything, Suit, you want to talk about here at some point? I mean, we'll go to the obscure sport line here. I mean, the Olympics are coming up in a few weeks. It's just one of the
greatest spectacles in the world. I'm not convinced that it's going to happen.
I'm convinced it's going to happen. It's going to happen. There is no way on the face of the earth that Beijing, meaning the government, Okay, that's not happening. This is a showcase.
Well, I look at it this way. You know, I lamented a couple of weeks ago on my Facebook page that, you know, I was looking for something to get excited about.
Can you hold on for a second?
Sure.
I'm going to go get a sandwich. You keep talking. I'm going to go get a sandwich. Go ahead.
So I lamented that there would be nothing to, you know, there'd be nothing to talk about. But the Steelers still have a playoff hope. And, you know, until they get the baseball thing settled, I forgot about the Olympics being in February. So I have a clean DVR ready to go.
How much of this I watch, I don't know.
You'll watch some of it. You know you will.
I watch some, but not that much. You know, I've got games. I mean, that's one thing. The Winter Olympics, I don't usually watch as often because I've got games and travel. I mean, like, if the games were say the games were going on now, I wouldn't have watched any last night. I was flying last night. Tonight, I wouldn't be able to watch any of it. I've got a game tonight. You know, and I'm going to have games in February as well. So, I mean, my schedule over the years, I'll watch maybe a little bit of the Winter Olympics, not much. But now doing baseball with the spikes, I haven't watched as much of the Summer Olympics either.
I'll watch women. I won't watch the men's hockey because I'm not as interested in it now with the NHL not being a part of it. I'll watch women's hockey, especially U.S.-Canada. Definitely watch that. I'll watch moguls. I'll watch hot dog aerials, half pipe. And there's no way I'm missing luge, bobsled, and skeleton.
Boy,
I'm with you on the luge.
This has turned into a far sadder segment.
I'm just hoping my man Lee Diffie is doing luge, bobsled, and skeleton again. He's awesome.
He is fantastic.
He's awesome at that stuff. Oh, and you know what? He is the kind of Steve Jones guy. You reach out to him, he will come back to you. He and I have you know, tweeted messages back and forth to each other over the years since he was at Pocono with IndyCar and I had a chance to say hi.
Yeah, I know, because I've received several items here in my email about restraining orders. I don't know what to tell Lee. I mean, I just refer Lee to the same judge that issued all the other ones.
He made the mistake of calling me mate, so yeah, that's it. He's
mate.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, we're mates now.
Matt, have you ever referred to the suit as mate?
Well, that's
he's no. Not, I can definitely confirm that
he's not from the Southern Hemisphere, though.
Well, I'm sure he lives south of Sealands Grove. South of Danville.
slightly, yeah. Yeah. Although Diff now lives in the Northern Hemisphere, but that's different.
Yes. So what would I watch?
Yeah, what would you watch?
I would watch... I would always watch the hockey final.
Yeah.
I would watch downhill. Men's and women's.
Yeah, I watch that too. I just don't get overly excited about it.
No, I like watching the downhill. I love watching bobsled as well. Skeleton, fine. Luge, yes. Two-man luge, no way. No offense, the concept's absurd. And
I understand that, but knowing someone who does that, I mean, that's why I watch it.
No, luge, I would watch. Two-man luge, no. Absurd. Okay, it's absurd. And then figure skating, I've over the years I really would always watch it. I've really stopped having a lot of interest in it. It's too political.
If there's nothing else going on, I'll watch that.
No, I'll watch a college basketball game. We're good. Okay, we'll take a break. Come back, more in a moment. Matt, just listening to this now has complaints as we continue, sponsored by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Lee Diffie told me there's nothing like watching the suit on air guitar to this. Nothing like it. Any complaints, Matt?
That says it all.
That says it all. And it says everything right there. You know, it's just, he walked away. He quit the show. Unbelievable. Quit the show. Aeneas Hawkins announced today, you know, and I knew, Hawk told me last week that this was going to be it for him. So he now made it official today. He wants to go into broadcasting and journalism, and he's going to be very good at it. He's going to be very good at it. He's articulate. He's smart. Deep understanding of sports. He and Nick Dawkins do the Hawk and Doc podcast. So he will do well with that, and I wish him nothing but the best. Because, you know, we talk a few times along the way, and I just genuinely like him. Jordan Stout did the expected; he opted for the draft. He should have opted for the draft. There's been a lot of talk now for a couple of months that he might be the only draftable kicker in this draft, so he should be going for that, and I think that's very important for him. Along the way, we will then see, I think what Mike brought up in his phone call was very important, and that was about, he talked almost exclusively about defense, but he brought up the portal. The portal is going to be critical for everyone moving forward. I mean, this is, it's such a, I'm always conflicted about this. I understand about the ability of players to move from place to place. I understand, you know, name, image, and likeness. I understand all of that. And there's a lot of people doing a lot of great things with their name, image, and likeness money. I mean, Sean Clifford does a lot with charity around the area all the time, all the time. Big Brother, Big Sister, Sean does a lot with. Tyler Lindenbaum, the center for Iowa, who also he's going to the NFL draft, but he played in Iowa's bowl game against Kentucky. He took $30,000 of his name, image, and likeness money, and he donated to the Iowa Children's Hospital. So there's a lot of athletes that are taking name, image, and likeness money, and they're doing great things with it. They're not just keeping it for themselves. But, you know, you do in some ways. I think they've got to. It's interesting. The old tube is out of the toothpaste is out of the tube analogy here. Is it possible to roll anything back? Now it's a one-time transfer, so if you transfer a second time, you got to sit out. So, for example, Dylan Gabriel went to UCLA. Did that count? Because he never enrolled, didn't take a class, so it probably doesn't count. Interesting. Interesting. All right, Mark Brennan, Reginald Walker today on the show. Go Reginald Walker next, Mark Brennan at 4:06. Now that Matt obviously has quit the show.
Gone.
Is that the impression you got?
Gone.
Yeah, he's gone. I mean, it's just, and we all know he gets very emotional. You said so many words during your segment, he hardly said a word. I think he left.
It wasn't balanced.
And, you know, there's some people that feel fair imbalance is important.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory. With the Sunbury Motors guarantee, they go over it with a fine-tooth comb. and your trade-in's never been worth more. Service department, great at inspections, great at routine maintenance, great at the difficult jobs. It's really one-stop shopping. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Humbles Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. You know, I had to laugh at the two of you a little bit. Micah Parsons being put on the COVID list. Okay. You guys know what the rules are, right?
Actually, yeah. I don't know. I don't remember exactly what the rules are.
Go ahead, Captain Complaint, since you decided to come back to the show.
Well, I just reset it, and they basically have changed it to match the new CDC guidance. So it's instead of 10, it's 5 for both.
Well, that's not
if you're exposed and if you're or if you test positive, if I remember correctly.
Yep, you're missing the point. You're missing the point. Do I got to do this whole show myself? I mean, come on. Okay? The new protocols means that once you get it and then you clear, you don't get tested for 90 days. You're going to see a lot of playoff teams putting guys on the COVID list this week with the idea that they won't have to be tested during the playoffs.
Ooh, that's manipulation.
That is true.
Do you guys read the rules? I mean, really.
Rules?
It only takes a second to look it up.
Which is a little bit concerning when they first made this, but I guess as long as they get through the rest of the season, I guess it's fine.
Let me ask everybody something, because we're going to get to Reginald Walker here in a second. Let me ask you guys something. Who's contracted COVID from playing in any sport?
Oh, I'm not worried about people getting it, contracting it while playing, because you're absolutely right. No matter what level it's been,
one team hasn't passed it on
from the other from competition. I'm talking about teams passing it within each other, whether they're in the building or whatever. Now, a lot of teams are starting to take their own precautions, like the Eagles have been, but that's what I'd be worried about, teams spreading it, not teams in within teammates and coaches spreading it, not necessarily team to team during competition.
All these guys the Eagles have put on the list, they're now 90 days tested. Okay?
Right.
They say, oh my goodness, who's going to be available for the game? They don't care who's available for the game. Okay? They don't have
not
to
this week, exactly.
Anymore.
Everything's clinched.
Right? That's why you're going to see a lot of teams this week, I think, putting names on that list. That they're sitting there going up, and 5 days later, hey, we're good. Right? And they don't have to be tested the rest of the playoffs.
Of course. Wouldn't doubt that one bit.
Just thought I'd bring it up.
And rightly so.
And, you know, it's not the same rule for Lee Diffie. Might as well get to something the suit cares about. All right, so. All right. Let's go to our Mystic from the South. Reginald Walker. Reginald, welcome back. Always a pleasure, sir. Happy New Year.
Let's bring in Reginald Walker, our mystic from the South. Walker, how are you?
I'm well, Steve.
Unless college football expands the playoff, is there any... Now, you're in the South, but is there getting to be some fatigue about an Alabama, Georgia. I know it's only the second time, but Georgia's been in the thick of this thing for a while. That's Alabama, Georgia, and the sports becoming in terms of interest like NASCAR.
I think there is a chance for that, right? And I think the issue is, right, the last time we saw these two teams play, it got ugly. And Bama looked more than a step above what Georgia is. Now, everybody will tell you, well, that wasn't Georgia's best game, obviously. Okay, that may be fair, but if we see that again, then I think there's some fear. Now, the scariest part of this whole thing, though, Steve, is I think what we're finding out over the last, since really the college football playoff era started, is there's really usually only one or two teams that are that good And then the drop-off after that is stark.
See, that's why I take a different approach on the playoff idea for this reason. Yes, if you get 5 versus 12 and 6 versus 11, or it's 1 versus 16, you'll get a couple of blowouts. But there's also the possibility that when 7 plays 8 and when 6 plays 9, you may actually end up with some really good games. and that then would be, I think, the reward for expanding the playoff, even though it wouldn't be a semifinal game or a quarterfinal game. It would be different than some of it. You actually might end up with some good games that doesn't involve one or two.
Correct. I think that's important, but I think where the problem lies is, right, because I'm with you on that, and I think that's an interesting aspect, an interesting way to look at it, and I think those will give us some quality games. The problem is we are such a society that is, let's look at the end. Folks will lose sight of that by the time they get to the semis if they're one-sided. But I agree. I think if you do expand, that opportunity opens up for some really – and you know what's going to happen with that being said, Steve, the 7, 8, and the 6 – chances are you're going to get a group of five school. You know, that's where all of a sudden you get a BYU, and they're able to take down an Ole Miss for instance. Yeah. And so I think that's where it gets really interesting, because people go, see, the group of five schools can hang, or whatever the case may be. But the reality is, right, when you get down to the four, what do those games look like? And I think that's where the issue is. But to your point, from a fatigue standpoint, I think that'll save some of the fatigue. But if it gets to the end and it continues to be one-sided, regardless of who's there, right? Because one of the semifinals this year saw a Big Ten team, right, a Power 5 conference team, get blown out by Georgia. So, in the same token, that's the ever-present question. And the one thing someone said to me is, one guy said, well, I told you the group of five didn't belong. Cincinnati got blown out, and I said, well, okay, I'll give you that, but I'll give you two things on the back end. Michigan got blown out by Georgia, but in turn, Georgia got blown out by Alabama in the SEC championship game. So what does that really mean, right? At the end of the day, I think part of it is sometimes, right, as the guy on Twitter, Mr. Go, would say, the moment got too big. And sometimes the moment gets too big for some talented football teams, versus other teams like Alabama who have been there, right? And so the moment will not be too big.
Let's experiment, have a little fun with another aspect of it. Sometimes you can win a game like that in an opening round, and you're going to play the very next week instead of waiting 3 weeks. It might carry over for you in the next game. You might actually get better games in the next round because each team is in the rhythm of playing.
Well, see, Steve, I think that's the biggest issue. I think the biggest issue with the college football playoff semifinals is we sit around for a month and wait. And I don't think that works, which is why I think an 18 playoff makes sense. What I would do, the way I would handle it is I would, again, like, let's use this year for an example, this calendar. And I think I've said this on your show before. December 18th, I would have played the quarterfinals, if you will. 1-8, 2-7, 3-6, 4-5. That would have been 2 weeks from conference championship. So you give them a week off, get through awards time and all that stuff. And then I'd start the bowls right after that. And all the other bowls, I want them all played up until New Year's Eve. Get them all out of the way. Okay, the Rose Bowl is going to stay on New Year's Day. It's fine. We'll see you on ABC between the semis. Fine. Whatever. And then on New Year's Day, you play the two semis, right? And then you're back on the same schedule that you're on right now. And then you get 9 days later, whatever it is.
Yeah.
They play the national championship game. I think if you do it that way, not only do you not diminish the bowls, right, because – There's essentially a 2 week window where you get all those bowls in. The other 27 or 32 bowls, whatever it is, you get those packed into 2 weeks. That creates a lot of eyeballs, right, for people to watch, and good football in there that people will care about. Then you get back to the semifinals on New Year's Day and the Rose Bowl. Again, they're going to do what they do. So from that standpoint, you know, you're in a spot to where you can keep the same calendar, which I think is important.
Right. And the calendar is certainly, that's part of it. I mean, but it's also a time of the year where, as you know, people aren't in class. Ivan Mizell wrote an article that there'll be a point in the college football playoff, in his opinion, down the road where somebody will opt out. Do you envision that as well?
That's tough for me to see. Unless they go more than eight. I think if you're at eight, if you're going to see it, it might be from the team that's sitting there at eight. I think if you go to 12, like they've talked about, I think it's hard to see some of those teams sitting down there at the 11 seed, 12 seed. You may lose some guys, right? I think if you're at eight, where you're only talking about essentially, right, it's obviously three more games, but when you get to four and five more games, right, if you're going to 12 for certain seeds, the lower seeds, I think you're asking a lot to think that they're not going to opt out, because some of those guys are going to feel like this is a gauntlet that we're just not talented enough to win, and or this is a gauntlet I'm just not going to put my body through. I think two or three more games, if you go to eight, I think it's not as big a deal. So I think the more teams you have, the more chance you'll have for guys to opt out. And so I think that's kind of a misnomer that people say, well, if you put more teams in the playoff, less guys will opt out. I disagree with that.
Yeah, I think Ivan Mizell's right. There's going to be somebody at some point that's going to opt out of a playoff game. It's so personal for players to say, okay, you know, I'm not going to put my body out there one time, two times more, whatever, because they see millions of dollars as a possibility moving forward.
There's a guy in college football right now. I don't know him personally, so I don't want to use him by name, but I think we both know who it is. He's a Heisman Trophy winner who's got a chance to win a national championship this year. I'll put it this way. If all of a sudden that young man has been told, you are the number one pick as long as you don't get hurt, there is no chance in my mind that he wouldn't at least consider saying, you know what? And y'all got another five-star back there to play quarterback behind me. He's played a lot of garbage time this year. Go ahead and run him out there and get ready for next year, too, and I'm going to stay healthy. That conversation, I think, may happen with a player of that ilk, with that kind of potential, that kind of expectation, right, of being the number one pick. I think that family will have a different conversation than, say, for example, let's use Kenny Pickett as the example this year. Kenny Pickett is not going to be the number one overall pick. Chances are there's a quarterback that may not come off the board in the top 10, right? Right. So with that being said, that's a different conversation. But if it's a quarterback, potentially the number one pick, I think that might be the candidate, as you mentioned, Steve, that opts out of a college football playoff game.
Well, let's take it one step further. I'll make this the final question because I know we're going to get short on time. Ja'Marr Chase sat out last year, is having a phenomenal season. Micah Parsons sat out last season. He is having a phenomenal season. I said a year ago that guys like that would set the tone for how the NFL looks at guys that opt out, that if they performed well, they wouldn't think twice about it anymore. Well, they're performing well. Is the door open because of what Chase and Parsons have done and how they've excelled in the next level that you were seeing people opting out of their third year?
Yes. I think we will start to see that more and more. And here's the reality, and I don't want this to come off in the wrong way, but unless the NFL sort of, if for lack of a better term, docks them in some way, right? If they lose some cachet because of that, yeah, then they won't do it. But I think to your point with Ja'Marr Chase playing the way he is, and Michael, listen, we may have the offensive and defensive rookie of the year in the National Football League as the two guys that sat out last year.
Yep.
If that happens, I think all of a sudden the narrative changes, right? I can sit out that year. I can still be with my college teammates, or I can go train somewhere, Arizona, Florida, whatever. We know there's all those options out there. If those guys do that, if they choose to do that, it puts them in a spot, right, to where the other thing the NFL's looking at is, well, his body is fresh. There's no injuries. He's not beat up. As soon as we draft him, he's ready for minicamp, all these things that are going to be factors in that. So I think, and I said that before the draft as well, if guys pan out that sat out, I think you're going to see more of them. Because the other thing is, with social media, and I think this is the thing that people aren't thinking about with this NIL thing, and I'm going to tie these two together here in a tight way here. With NIL, the value is no longer in the games played in college. It's in the social media following before you get there. So if you're a highly rated recruit when you get there, you already have the cachet that says you're going to be pretty good. So now you only need one really good college season, or two really good college, or two average college seasons, for the NFL people to go, well, we think he's going to project differently here, and they won't worry about it as much. So that's the other thing that I think we need to pay attention to, is as this NIL thing continues, how much value are they getting out of their experience on the field? Because I would argue back when I played, when we didn't have social media, yeah, it was great that you were a high-level recruit, but no NFL people had seen you. So until you get on a college field and show them 2 or 3 years worth of tape as a good player after redshirting or not, or 4 years in a lot of cases, they didn't think you were good enough. Well, now they'll take 1 year because we'll get the narrative about, well, his body's not as beat up, so they'll take less time of you playing and then project you more, which is also why we're seeing the NFL in some ways get a little bit like the NBA, and a lot of GMs are getting fired because they're projecting and they're guessing, and they're guessing wrong.
My friend, absolute pleasure. Thanks so much. Happy New Year. Look forward to many more conversations in 22.
Absolutely. Anytime, Steve. And safe travels, man. I know you got to move around with the basketball team. Safe travels. Be careful out there.
Yeah. We will, my friend. Thank you.
Be well.
Reginald Walker joining us. Mark Brennan in the next half hour. Matt doing a slow boil. Suit concentrating on skeleton at the moment. It just, I mean, how do I keep all the balls in the air as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK? Yeah, boy, 16 days of hearing that. All right, in fact, I think they play this at Guantanamo to get them to talk. All right.
You're just happy we're not doing Olympic fun facts anymore.
Yeah. We're going to have on the show on Friday, Zach Kaplan. You're probably... Okay, I guess I got to fill in all the blanks here. He is from Montana, from Bozeman, to preview the Montana State-North Dakota State FCS Championship game, which is Saturday. See? So, I'm thinking, you know...
Giving the FCS level some love. All right.
Yeah. Matt's got complaints.
Actually, that should be a very entertaining game, although I think the Bison will take it.
That was a big win over James Madison, that's for sure.
That's the one. That's why I think they'll take it. Yeah.
But I'll say this: I thought Montana State. I actually watched Montana State, South Dakota State. Now that was a pretty good game. Matt, his assessment of the game is he found 212 mistakes to complain about. I said, Matt, it's Montana State and South Dakota State. Does it matter?